You are Locked On Texans, your daily Houston Texans podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So which Texans player is likely out until training camp? Well, in today's show, we'll tell you about that. You'll hear about a former Texan who takes some serious shots at Coach Bill O'Brien. I've got some standouts at OTAs, and you'll hear my one-on-one with the Texans quarterback. Hello, everybody. I'm Robert Land from the Houston Sports Talk Podcast, alongside my partner and co-host, Brian Patterson from House of Houston. And welcome to Locked On Texans, your best daily source of Texans news, views, and interviews. We're part of the FanRag Sports Network. Welcome aboard. And Brian, let's start with a couple of notes from OTAs. First off, Jadeveon Clowney had a knee scope in the offseason. And Bill O'Brien says, do not anticipate him being back until training camp. OB also said the Texans will follow the new national anthem rules. Not exactly a shocker there. And DeAndre Hopkins is impressed with Kiki Cutie. He says he's, quote, only getting better. He's always hanging around, seeing what I'm doing in between periods, asking me questions. The guy can play football, unquote. And Brian, I can tell you this much. Cutie continues to impress me. His quickness, his routes, his speed in and out of cuts. I like what I'm seeing out there in OTAs.
Yes, but that's good to hear, and I'm glad that you're seeing out of him early. You know, he's getting after it and, you know, going out there and trying to make the best impression. Now, you had him on your 53-man, Rob, so where do you think, what is his ceiling for season one? Where do you have him?
Well, it looks like he's destined to start to me. I mean, I feel like he's the front runner to start. I mean, we were questioning whether he could be the starter in week one. You know, the more I watch what they're doing with him out there, the more I see what he can do, the more I feel like not only is he much more of a lock to make this team than guys like Bruce Ellington and Braxton Miller, the veterans, but I think it's also more and more apparent that, you know, this guy is probably the starter. I mean, he has all the tools that it looks like you want in a slot wide receiver. I mean, it's early. I'm seeing this is 2 days. I'm seeing they've seen a lot more than that over the course of, you know, rookie camp and a couple of weeks. But, you know, so far, it's impressive.
Oh, that's pretty awesome. That's good to hear. And, you know, like I said, he, out of all the picks, he was the one I was most excited about. Yeah, I talked about that, you know, right at the draft. So it's good that he's making an impression early.
All right. Fans are going to like to hear this. Deshaun Watson, at least getting a little bit more and more work in, 7-on-7 drills, not just individual drills like we saw last week. Other big observations from OTAs. This is from yours truly. Justin Reed showed me some things. He was breaking up passes, making some nice plays on the ball. This is what I expected to see. He looks good. Tristan Nacoud, also an impressive pass breakup in OTAs on Wednesday. These new safeties already showing the potential Brian and I thought they had. And Ty Mathieu is already developing some rapport with JoJo and Kareem Bryan. They were doing a lot of communicating along the sideline between reps. Mathieu bringing that instant chemistry, just gets along with everybody. Brian, it's exactly the type of communication, the type of leadership we figured he'd provide. I'm excited what I've seen from the safeties, all these guys.
Oh, wow. Yeah, and that's pretty good to hear as well. Talent all over the field. You know, Justin Reed, probably going to be able to start right out of the gate. Tyrann Mathieu, you can either put him at corner or you can put him at safety. It'd probably be best to put him at strong safety because that's his best suit there because of, you know, his strength and whatnot. But was there anything out of the safeties or at any position that you didn't like as far as what you saw?
Nothing that just really stuck out a ton. I mean, you know, just the normal stuff that you'd see that, you know, you don't know because we're not seeing a ton of Deshaun Watson. So you're seeing the other quarterbacks play. So it's hard to tell, like, you know, if the ball placement is an issue. So some of this could be on the quarterbacks, what the defenders are doing. But overall, you know, it seems like if the receivers have a shot, usually they're catching it. But if the defensive guys can get their hand on the ball, they're able to knock it away. So nothing too bad. I mean, you're just looking for just something little to get you excited, I guess. But overall, it's looked pretty good. And I mean, I tell you what, the big thing for me was, Brian, They put us in the bubble. It was nice. It was
brutal. Oh, yes. Air conditioning.
Brutal, brutal out there. So it was good to be going into the air conditioning on Wednesday. Interesting story out of Eagles camp. And I don't know if you saw this one, Brian. Philly tackle Lane Johnson called the Patriots a, quote, fear-based organization. He was responding to comments by former Patriots player Cassius Marsh, who said he hated his time in New England, and it made him, for the first time in his life, think about not playing football because he hated it that much. And this is where it gets interesting for us as the Texans fans. Former Texans guard Brandon Brooks chimes into this whole conversation when asked about it and said, this shouldn't surprise anybody. He said, quote, I was under the same regime in Houston with O'Brien. I almost retired. It was miserable every day, every day. I came in as a rookie under Kubiak, who was just an older version of Doug Peterson. Then I went to O'Brien, who was Belichick. Then I came back to Doug, who's like Kube. So for me, man, it was great. Meaning coming back to Philadelphia, he's talking about. He also said, I cannot tell you how much better this is than it was down there. Like, it's just night and day. I'll put it this way. I was going into my third year in Houston. O'Brien had just come in. And, you know, players who've made Pro Bowls, All-Pro teams, whatever, they had their pictures up on the wall. It was down the hallway as you go to lunch. You get to see how the players handle their business. When he came in, man, all those pictures were taken down. TVs in the cafeteria were off. He would never tell you what to say to the media, but he was always, he'd always be like, I can't tell you what to say to the media, but some things that you might want to mention is like, I'm here to do my job, stuff like that. You know what I mean? So eventually you get the same answers from all of the guys. You start realizing what's going on, unquote. And Brian, it doesn't shock me. I mean, we knew all this stuff was going on. I mean, not a good look for the O'Brien administration from Brandon Brooks.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, It's like an episode of the or excerpt of the movie The Manchurian Candidate. It also was a book as well. Mary, these guys being programmed to carry out a mission. Well, of course, you know, the mission is to always bring in a Super Bowl. But man, that is no way to be. There's no working conditions to be under. And I envisioned that Bill ruled things with an iron fist. I didn't think it was that bad to where he felt miserable. You should never feel miserable when you go to work and you're trying to do something that you love. You should feel very comfortable and not stressed out. So that these comments from Brandon Brooks, and wow, it's just great for him to go out and be honest about what he's saying. He can say that because he has a Super Bowl ring. He can say that because he has some Pro Bowl nominations under his belt. So the fact that he said that and he kind of threw Bill O'Brien under the bus, he knows he safely can say that because he's really solidified his career. So, wow, it's kind of shocking that I'm hearing these comments from you the first time. So my jaw's dropped, but yet I'm not too surprised that that's how he runs things.
Oh, of course. We knew this. This was all right there. I mean, I've been out there from the beginning of Bill O'Brien and that whole administration. So I know how it's been run. I will tell you, since Brooks left, I feel like it's eased up. I mean, I think the players still are a little bit on the tighter leash with the media, but it does seem a little bit looser. I think O'Brien was approached at some point over the last two or three years by somebody above his head. I don't know if it was Rick Smith or Bob McNair, but I think he was told, hey, you know, we don't need to do things like that here. It's not necessary. This is not the Boston media, for one. But, you know, those pictures coming down, oh yeah, we saw that. The media saw that. We saw what was going on. It was reported when that happened. The whole thing was they framed it as it's not about the individuals, it's about the team, and everything was kind of framed in that sort of way when O'Brien came in. And honestly, I didn't think the problem was discipline or any of this other garbage that O'Brien thought it was when he came in. I thought the problem, and I'm sure you did too, was talent. It was more than anything. It was talent and just overall coaching, maybe some X's and O's issues under Kubiak as well.
Yeah. And that's the problem with Kubiak. You know, he was a little too loose in terms of running the ship.
Exactly what he's saying. I'm saying, no, I don't think it was necessarily a loose ship. I think Kubiak, you know, this is an A&M guy. He's, you know, he likes things run a certain way, no doubt. Yeah. I don't think it was a loose ship at all. I'm saying it was about players and about X's and O's, not about the fact that, oh, they were just screwing around over there on Kirby.
No, no. And I would never think that they would be, even regardless of who would be coaching over at the Texans. It's serious business because, you know, fans have paid their money. They want to see a nice product out on the field. So it's serious business as far as the money coming in. And, you know, players, they owe that to us because we expect them to perform up and above expectations.
Okay, in just a minute, I've got a one-on-one with quarterback Joe Webb. Let me remind you that if you're enjoying Locked On Texans, please tell your friends, let them know that they can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Megaphone, Podchaser, TuneIn, and Spotify. If you'd like to check out more Locked On podcasts from our national network, go to LockedOnSports.com, our new Locked On Network website. We have podcasts for nearly every NFL and NBA team. We've started to add MLB podcasts. You guys already know about Locked On Rockets, our friend Ben DuBose, who will continue covering stuff throughout the offseason. We have the Locked On NFL Draft and Locked On NFL Podcast, too. It's all on LockedOnSports.com. That's LockedOnSports.com. All right, after OTAs Wednesday, I caught up with Texans QB Joe Webb inside the bubble. Let's hear from Webb. Well, first of all, how are you enjoying Houston, Texas? You've been around the league a lot of different places. What's this been like to be with the Texans in this city?
I love Houston, man. You know, it's back in the South for me. I'm an Alabama guy, so, you know, the heat is good for me, good food, good people, so I feel like I'm right at home.
What about this system? Do you feel like it's really helpful to you because they're doing a lot of the different things as far as trying to be mobile with the quarterback with Deshaun as the starter?
Yeah, you know, I'm just, you know, right now just getting in, you know, just kept coming back. So, you know, coach, they're doing a great job by teaching me the system, and it's all about now just getting reps.
Does the system seem a lot different, more difficult? How is it compared to some of the other different offenses that you've run?
I wouldn't say more difficult because I'd have been in all type of offense, you know, throughout my career. But they do have a great system here, and, you know, I'm looking forward to learning it and grow with it.
You played with the Panthers. You played with Cam Newton and Deshaun Watson, kind of similar in the type of things that they can do on the field. What have you seen just in your brief time just being around Deshaun? And I'm sure you've seen a ton of him playing on film and stuff like that. What's the difference between those two guys? And are there do you see a lot of similarities as far as leadership and the intangibles?
They both have great leadership. You know, they both are very talented at what they do in football. You know, they both have great work ethic. So I know Deshaun, he's going to be in this league for a long time because the things that he does on the field and off the field, you know, he's a great person. And, you know, he's working to get better every day, working on his game, you know. And I see the way his teammates follow him in the locker room and on the field. So Deshaun, he's in a, you know, perfect situation.
What are some of the big things that you've learned? I mean, you've been on all these different teams. What are the big lessons that you've learned after going through this for several years now in the NFL?
You know, just, you know, making most of your opportunity. You know, when your time comes, you know, continue to better yourself. You know, continue to, you know, learn your teammates and, you know, let them know that, hey, you got their back at any time on the field.
What do you think of the type of weapons that you have here to work with? DeAndre Hopkins, lots of speed with Will Fuller, this rookie Keke Coutee that's looking good. What do you think of these guys? Tell me a little bit about some of the guys that you've seen thrown to and how they're looking.
They're looking very good. You know, they're growing in the offense. You know, they've been in the system. DeAndre and Fuller have been in the system for a while. And, you know, Keke coming in, and he's doing a great job progressing. And, you know, those guys making incredible plays on the field. So, the sky's the limit for the offense.
You've seen some things that you like from the rookie tight ends, because you got two rookie tight ends along with Ryan Griffin, Steven Anderson. What are you seeing from those guys?
They're doing a great job also, you know, coming in, learning the system. They did a great job so far as picking up the offense, you know, coming from college into the NFL. You know, a lot of guys not able to do that fast, but for them to come in and really pick it up, and, you know, it's a great job by them, great job by the coaching staff, and it says a lot about their culture.
this offensive line. It's a lot of new faces, a lot of new guys. How long does it take for an offensive line to develop that chemistry? Can you get it by the end of training camp, or do you think it's going to take a few games into the season before these guys can really mesh together?
I think you can get it, you know, by training camp or, you know, doing training camp. That's when you get it. OTAs is that's when you gain the chemistry. So those guys doing a great job working together. I mean, I see them constantly, you know, talking about, you know, the offense, you know, talking about, you know, protection and, you know, how to make things better. So I think they're going to do a great job as building the chemistry for the next year.
What's it like to be around Bill O'Brien on a daily basis? Are you picking some things up from him, and what kind of a personality is he to deal with?
Yeah, he's a great person, great guy, great coach. You know, he's an upfront coach, which I love about him. You know, he's always, you know, trying to find ways to get better. He's always, you know, on his players, you know, coaching his players, you know, to the best of his ability. And he has a great offensive mind, great football mind, and, you know, I'm enjoying working with him.
How much does he encourage you to sort of play like your style of play with what you're capable of doing?
Oh, yeah, he's encouraged that a lot, you know, just be yourself, you know, do what you do on the field within the schemes of the offense. So, you know, he does a great job by, you know, he always tell you don't be robotic, you know, be a football player, you know, and I love that about him.
This defense, you see some of these guys are out here. We still don't see J.J. Watt, but you know what he can do on a football field. How impressed are you with what this defense is capable of? And, you know, they've added Ty Matthew, what he can do. We're starting to see some things from Justin Reed, what he can do on the field as well at safety. And obviously you've got the veteran cornerbacks too.
Yes, like I said, like you said, you have veteran presence all over the field. They was the top defense for the past couple of years, you know. They always rated like top five, you know. You always see those guys done creating turnovers, getting sacks. You know, they have a great defensive line, great linebacker, great secondary, and the additions that the Texans has made with Tyron Matthews and those guys, they're going to do a great job within the system.
Hey, thanks so much for talking for us. Talking to us, and good luck this year.
All right, thank you.
That was Joe Webb, who will be fighting for a spot on the 53-man roster. In a minute, we'll talk about the Webb interview, but first, just a quick reminder to like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, email us at LockedOnTexans@mail.com. If you forget any of that, it's real simple. Just go to the show description of each podcast. It's all right there. And if you're a fan of Locked On Texans, you can either email us a question or record a message using the voice memo on your phone. Email LockedOnTexans@mail.com, and we'll use it on the show. So, Brian, what caught your attention about the Joe Webb interview? Anything interesting?
There were a few things that stood out to me. The very first thing was he reminds me of a cousin that I have that I see at our family reunion every year, you know, with a tall boy, a Bud Light, a fresh fried fish, hot sauce on it, you know, and he's like, why do you talk so funny? Why do you talk so funny? I'm like, this is the way I talk. This is what's wrong. You have to be so proper all the time. Why do you have to be so proper? But he sounds just like that. And Joe Webb, he said he's from Alabama. You know, I've got cousins all down the South. So yeah, he reminds me of a cousin of mine. So that's pretty awesome. But the most important thing I got out of the interview, he was very positive, but yet he was talking about Deshaun Watson, and he said his teammates. The last time I checked, Joe Webb is a member of the Houston Texans. Those are his teammates too. So when he said that, I'm thinking, does he feel that he's not part of the team? He's just kind of like an outsider. He's just here collecting a paycheck. I mean, is he going to – he thinks he's not going to be able to make the team? I think he has a great shot because he is a dual threat. He still has better wheels than Brandon Whedon right now. So yeah, I would think that he has a great shot, but that's what struck me the most. Like, he feels like he's an outsider. I don't know if you got the same thing out of that, Rob.
Yeah, it's early. I mean, he's only been here for a couple of weeks. So I get it. I mean, he's actually from Birmingham, Alabama. So not from a small town, but Birmingham, the big city in Alabama, but it's still Alabama. Of course, you know, this is a guy that I remember coming into the league. He's from, you know, played for the Vikings to start his career from 2010 to 2013. And I remember watching him thinking, you know, he's really interesting, kind of a fun guy to watch. And I thought, you know, maybe if he's developed the right way and you can showcase his skills a little bit, which we're talking about the same kind of skills that you have with either Deshaun Watson or his former teammate in Carolina. Like I said, he was playing there. This is from 2014 to 2016 with Cam Newton. He's got those kind of skills, but just never developed, you know, played some other positions. I think you mentioned, Brian, a couple shows ago that he, you know, played a little bit of wide receiver, so done some other things. But, you know, great athlete. And even in practice, even at OTAs on Wednesday, there was a play where, you know, he took off running. They were at the set up at the 8 or 10 yard line on the doorstep. And he saw a space, took off running. And that's his instinct. I mean, and it's nice, you know, for his sake to be on a team where he can use that instinct. I just don't know if they will want to keep him around, if he's a guy that they would look to if, you know, there's an injury and Brandon Weeden just can't do it immediately. Do they immediately go to Joe Webb? You know, it's interesting. I don't know what happens there. But, yeah, you could tell he's still getting acclimated with everything. He's very complimentary of everybody. You know, he's saying all the right things, but that's what you expect. I mean, this is a guy that he's just trying to make the best impression that he can right now. It's early in his Texans career.
Yes, and you know, wish him the very best. But if I were Bill, I would just go in and carry all three. Carry Brandon Weeden and Joe Webb, because you can use them in a lot of different areas. And then when things get lean, you never know how injuries are going to go this season. Joe Webb can be used in a variety of different ways. And, you know, we talked about that on different shows. But again, you made that point yesterday. If you cut him, he may not be a guy that's like, well, you cut him and then somebody else picks him up. He might still be hanging around, you know, if we tell him, hey, you know, we'll call you if we need you. Because, you know, like they said, they did that with Brandon Weeden. The Titans picked him up, and there you go. We didn't have a viable backup for Tom Savage, you know, when things, you know, got really hazy there. You know, we had to stick with Taylor Heineke. So can't even say his name right because he was here for such a short amount of time. But yeah, that's what I'm getting at there. So it's good that you're able to get Joe, you know, just to get his insight on how he sees things and what he brings to the table. He invokes a lot of confidence, which is certainly good.
The one thing about him that's different than Deshaun Watson, as far as just build, he's built bigger. He's 6'4", 240. So when you're talking about a team that's like offensive line might be an issue, it's going to matter that he's got size and maybe can take a hit if stuff falls apart. That helps in a situation where you might have to bring Joe Webb in into a game off the bench in an emergency situation. So we'll see if he's got any of those passing skills, the type of skills that the Texans are going to need to see for that. But, you know, there's weapons out there for anybody that plays quarterback, not just Deshaun. I mean, there's weapons to use now more than we've ever seen with the Texans. Speed, talent, you know, everybody knows about DeAndre Hopkins. They've had Hopkins and Fuller, and then you add into that equation, I think Kiki Cutie and Jordan Akins, if those guys can bring even more speed and more electricity on offense and guys that you can dump down to in an emergency and can get loose because of their speed and athleticism. And if you're a quarterback that's in an emergency situation, you know, just, hey, I can make a quick dump off pass to them. They're going to find a way to get open, break away from the pack, and maybe be able to do something. So it's worth noting. But I saw Joe Webb out there and I thought, why not? Let's talk to Joe and see what he has to say. And, you know, he might know more, a little bit more as things go on. But he's a guy that's the type of guy the Texans, you want to see them have as a backup quarterback with Deshaun Watson, so he can keep doing the type of things that they're doing with that sort of spread and the read option and all this stuff that we saw Deshaun do so well. And Bill O'Brien did some nice mastery technically with the play calling and that sort of thing last year. So hopefully it works out. Brian, that's all I've got. House of Houston, a fan side affiliate. You got it covered over there, houseofhouston.com. Any good stories?
I wrote this morning about Luke Mbiamut. You know, it's worth going on and re-signing him. So it's something that I think you need to read. I do give a little bit of insight in the article. It's a very quick read, but it gives you a lot of detail about what I think about the Rockets should do with them. We also have we have a piece up by the guy that runs the site with me, Tyler Mock. Yeah, he's had a piece up about the focus for the offseason. It's set on two players. I'm pretty sure you guys know who those players are, but you need to take a look and see what this guy has to say. A terrific writer. So we're going to be hitting it hard on Rockets offseason coverage. It's what people love. I've been doing this for years. People eat this stuff up. But we're going to start hitting heavy on Astros, too, because the trade deadline's coming up as well. So, yeah, so come to houseofhouston.com. We've got it all, and we're ready to lock and load for the summer.
Ken Giles replacement, I'm guessing.
that
might actually come up sometime on your show, and we'll be talking about it on my Houston Sports Talk podcast, which is easy to find on iTunes and most anywhere you listen to your podcast on. And when you're done listening to today's Locked On Texans, just going back to us and this show, make sure to rate us on iTunes. It's real easy to do. Let us know what you think. You can go to anywhere you listen to Locked On Texans, any of the formats, make a comment, rate us, tell people what you think, what you might suggest, and we'll certainly take it all to heart. That's all we got for this one. As always, thanks for making us a part of your week.
You are Locked On Texans, your daily Houston Texans podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.